Thank you. Okay, let's return to the one remaining item, which is 1149.
Declare intent to pilot the community-initiated neighborhood trails process to allow community organizations to identify and improve and develop right-of-ways to trail standards.
Commissioner Novick.
Colleagues, at the first hearing on October 14th, Council asked staff to craft four amendments and get further clarification of ORS 105.668, or what is more colloquially known as recreational immunity. Eric and Ebel of my staff worked with PBOD and the city attorney in a memo that was shared with your offices and the public yesterday, which outlines these changes and findings. The memo is in front of you today. Before the amendments are submitted formally, I wanted to take another opportunity to highlight the amount of feedback the community has offered PBOD throughout this process. It continues to be my hope that everyone stays engaged because everybody's feedback is going to continue to be important. I want to thank the residents and trails advocates who showed up 2 weeks ago for taking the time to testify, including but not limited to Southwest Trails for their volume of feedback, which PBOD has considered and incorporated in whole or in part. Elizabeth Duncan, who encouraged us to take a closer look at the recreational immunity statute. Arlene Kimura for inspiring Commissioner Fritz to ask staff to craft an amendment that we'll talk about shortly, Marianne Fitzgerald, for being Marianne Fitzgerald, and advocates for Baltimore Woods and St. John's. I think that this pilot process is a great start. PBOD worked hard to balance and incorporate diverse opinions to get to what was presented to us 2 weeks ago. The amendments in front of us today will make the process better. And it's important to remind ourselves that this is a pilot project and thoughtful changes can be made if the need arises. Now, as to the amendments, one of the amendments, which is referred to as Amendment 3 on the memo in front of you, has to do with the availability of information to community members who need translated materials. PBOT will work with OD and BPS to develop a template letter to accompany outreach materials, and it will be made available to the applicant on PBOT's website. PBOT needs some more time to actually craft this document, but we will be ready by January 2016 when the pilot process launches. Amendment 4 in the memo clarifies the role of PBOT's director in the advisory nature of the trails process. This addresses concerns about the perception that neighboring landowners would have veto power that came up during the first council session from community members and some members of council. So this amendment clarifies that the ultimate authority does rely on rest with the PBOT director. I'm actually proposing an amendment to the amendment. The amendment currently, as originally stated, says that the ability to complete the steps outlined in the process will be the primary determinant in whether or not PBOT will allow the group to move forward with building a trail. I suggest changing the primary to a major, which I think further underscores the advisory nature of this process.
Second that.
Thank you.
Okay. What do you want to do those as a package?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you don't? All right, so just that one then. Okay.
So I've only just seen these amendments, and I appreciate all the work that's been done. On Amendment 4, it's proposed to add it to the end of the background section, which I'm very concerned that that doesn't give it as much force of law as having it actually in the process. And my request had been to have it at the end of the process where it set, where the language talked about, you know, basically tough luck if you didn't get this done. And then I was proposing to make it really clear that no, actually, this is advisory. So I don't think that having it in the background section really works. And then secondly, I appreciate the amendment to make it a major determinant rather than the primary. Very concerned that it's the PBOT director that has the final authority. Surely the commissioner in charge of the bureau has the final authority. Who should the public complain to if the director says no and there's no appeal to council? And then thirdly, it says bureau-owned right-of-ways are used. I don't think the Bureau of Transportation owns the right-of-way. I believe the public owns
does.
The right-of-way. So it needs to be that the public right-of-ways are used. And really, the public should have the say in whether how the public right-of-ways are used. And as currently defined, adjacent property owners do have veto power.
Well, again, I don't think they have veto. They don't have veto power. But changing from bureau to public is easy. And actually, I'd like to ask Sarah Schooley to address the question of the placement of the language.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. I'd be happy to address that, Commissioner Fritz. So we did get your suggestions to put it at the end of the document. The end of the document, as it was put on the website, is a section called Mutual Respect. And so we didn't feel that it was appropriate to put in that section. We were also a little concerned that because of that section and also just documents in general, people often don't read to the end, and so didn't want to put it there, thinking that a lot of people actually might not get there. And so we're hoping by putting it in front, more people would get it as part of the context of the program.
I guess my experience has been that people don't generally read the background information. They dive right into what are the steps that I have to follow. And so unless it's in the steps that can be followed.
So we could, so that mutual respect section at the end isn't actually one of the steps. And so we could incorporate it into step number 3. We could put it at the end of that step. And that's the step that involves the community involvement and neighborhood support. So we could put it in there.
Yes, thank you.
Does the language in that paragraph work for you, though, with the changes suggested?
Well, except I believe it should be the elected official who has the ultimate responsibility, not the PBOT director.
I will pass that on to said elected official.
I don't want to have any more responsibilities, but okay.
So that would be commissioner in charge rather than director.
Correct. Okay. I mean, obviously, we all make decisions in concert with our commissioner in charge or with our bureau director, depending on which side you're on. I would like it to be really clear that there is an elected official whom citizens feeling aggrieved by the outcome of the process can appeal to.
Okay.
Thank you.
I can do that.
Somehow I don't have any of this in front of me, but I did read the stuff over the past couple days. But I just want to make sure I understand what we're doing here. We are backing off a little bit from the work. This is a pilot, right?
The pilot.
For
yes.
How long?
A 1-year pilot.
1-year pilot. And so the amendments that we're considering right now will allow the commissioner in charge now to take under advisement the result of any kind of a vote of neighbors.
Correct.
But it's a major factor. It's not the primary factor. And it's ultimately up to the discretion of the commissioner in charge or PBOT. Director.
Right, and I think one of the reasons why Commissioner Fritz suggested this paragraph and why we were very willing to put it in is that really any community input process is in essence an advisory process. And so if for some reason the trails process goes through and because of one step or another it comes out a way that the commissioner in charge doesn't believe is the best use of that right of way, we want to make sure that that the power and the understanding is that the commissioner in charge is the one with the final decision. And so although we believe that that responsibility was implied and also mentioned in the first draft, or what I guess was the third draft of the trails process that came out, I think this language just puts it out there a little bit more and helps clarify that responsibility.
So it makes clear that these elections are not binding in any sense of the word.
Right, that they are advisory. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think the concern is where the immediate neighbors, simply don't want people walking past them. We heard from Trudy Raz this morning how there's a fence in the right-of-way and it needs to go. And that's under the current voting rules, the immediate neighbors do have a certain sense of they're entitled to say no. I appreciate the amendments, which make it really clear that, no, actually, people who live far away might want to walk past that particular property, whether that particular neighborhood says, no, this is our private enclave, no, it's public right-of-way.
Basically, what you're doing in this process, we're saying we want people to work these issues out with their neighbors, including the neighboring landowners, but that does so we hope people will try to do that, but that doesn't mean that the neighboring landowners have the ultimate authority.
Yes, because I think my experience has been that there is often an attempt to work with the neighbors, and when the neighbors say no, other people are like, well, isn't this public right-of-way? I have the right to be there.
Right. And it is also important to remember, if you all can flash back a couple weeks ago to the presentation, there were 3 different options to get that community and neighborhood support box checked. And so only one of them actually was getting a high majority of 75% of adjacent property owners. The other 2 options, we were getting 50% of residents or of property owners within a 1/4 mile of the trail, trying to look at some broader user base. And then the 3rd option was getting 50% of adjacent property owners along with a neighborhood association letter. So there were a couple options.
But all of those are very parochial. They all are about the neighborhood association. When we're encouraging people to walk further distances, and plus some neighborhood associations are really, really small.
Yes.
we shouldn't give the neighborhood association the right to veto.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I'm not seeing an option which I would like to see, and maybe, you know, this is a pilot so we can see how it works, and I'm going to be particularly interested to see how it works on the Coronado Street right-of-way, which is so contentious. Maybe there needs to be a fourth option of the neighborhood coalition or petition of 500 people or whatever it is that allows anybody beyond that. I'm certainly willing to try it as such.
We actually had a conversation with one of the neighborhood coalitions about that, and I think their immediate reaction was, but we might revisit that in the future.
Do you want to move the amendments?
Yes.
Actually, there's one of them, which actually, Sarah, I want to make sure exactly what kind of amendment it is, because we have a reference to Amendment 5, which is a statement that staff will be adding a section to the Q&A for individuals that own property next to an unimproved right-of-way that detail the benefits of having an adjacent unimproved right-of-way developed to trail standards.
Yes.
One of these benefits could potentially be lessened liability as a result of 105-668, and we provided language, the kind of language that we think we will add to the Q&A. And I want to know, is this really an amendment? Are we saying for sure this precise language will be used, or just sort of advising people that we plan to add this kind of language?
Yes, this is advising people that we look to add this sort of language. And right now the Q&A is up on the website, and that's definitely a living document. And so as we get closer to this process being implemented, as questions come in, we'll be looking to change around that Q&A to make sure that we answer the questions people are asking the most. But I think there was an acknowledgement that ORS wasn't referenced in the Q&A, and that obviously, as you have found out, has been a very popular question. And so we want to make sure that we have language in there and have been working with the city attorney to make sure we get the right language.
Yeah, I don't think you have to actually amend the ordinance to do that, but you can if you want. So.
And thank you, Commissioner. With your acceptance of my friendly amendments, I'm happy to vote on them as a package.
Great.
So I move amendments 1 through 5 as package A.
And the corrections or revisions that we made to what was amendment 4 that now is going to be at the end of step 3 is the changing director to commissioner in charge and changing bureau to publicly.
Yes. And also moving the location in the document.
That's right.
Well, and then we changed
the primary
to May.
To A major. Yeah.
Yes.
The primary to A major.
Major.
Okay. So those capture the changes.
And change bureau to public.
And also we're going to move that into step 3 rather than
right.
The background.
Is that in from what was, it's still amendment 4, but now it goes into the end of step 3, right? Okay, those are the amendments. Let's vote on the amendments and see if anyone wants to testify on the amended ordinance.
Novick?
Thank you, colleagues. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Erica. Thanks, everybody. Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Hale.
Aye. Okay, Sarah, thank you very much. Does anyone want to speak on this item or not in unison or otherwise?
We have 5 people signed up.
Okay.
For the amendments, John Gibbon, Elizabeth Deenan, and Glenn Bridger.
Okay.
Duncan.
May I just note that there's a time check. We may lose a quorum. Are we testifying in favor or against?
I'm in favor of the amendments. I think that the...
Is there anyone who's testifying against the amendments?
Okay.
Okay.
So we got a diversity of opinion there. Go ahead.
Okay. Right. I'm in favor of the amendments. As I understand it, it's going to lessen the adjacent owner's veto to this, and I think that that's necessary. I still believe that it's on a case-by-case basis, and I think putting it in the hands of the commissioner in charge is probably the best way to make a judgment on case-by-case basis. I know of the situation with my homeowners association. We have neighbors who probably would have a veto, but are completely fenced off from the right-of-way, not even affected by privacy. So I kind of have a problem with that. I also would like to see this process move forward because I don't think this solves our problem for my homeowners association, but we have something called a public pedestrian pathway that runs through our private land, and I'd like to move to some place where we have more certainty about reduction in liability if we're letting the public go through our private lands. So those are critical things that I think this process helps us with. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Elizabeth Duncan. I testified before you on October 14th about the liability issue. I am not anti-trail, but I am anti-liability. And I don't think it's fair to put a lot of our citizens in the position that they're in today. PBOT's amendments explain the limitations of ORS 105.668. They explain the protections for new trails under PBOT's plan, but they do not propose any protections for property owners who live along existing trails, and that is absolutely reprehensible to leave people in this sort of situation. I'd like to ask each of you, if you would want to be liable for a trail that is published on the city's map and that currently look like this and like this, no one in their right mind would knowingly take on that sort of liability. And this is not a theoretical problem. Walkers are being injured on these trails. A lady in my neighborhood died because she fell down a steep trail, she suffered a brain injury, and a few weeks later she died at OHSU. Southwest Trails meeting a few weeks ago, they mentioned 4 or 5 serious injuries that have occurred on these trails. When the present condition of these existing trails, with the present condition of the existing trails, the fact that walkers are being injured when using these trails should not surprise you. The important point is that this council has the opportunity to fix the mistakes of the past. Don't allow PBOT to move forward and totally ignore the hazardous condition of existing trails. This is a plan that I would suggest. Require Southwest Trails to assume all liability for existing trails. They built them illegally without permits. They are proud of them and promote them at every possible opportunity. Let Southwest Trails assume liability for them in a written agreement with the city. Second, have a city engineer go out and inspect each of these trails and document conditions deemed unsafe to the public. And third, follow the same maintenance provision detailed in PBOT's proposed trails plan at page 3. If the city engineer deems the conditions to be unsafe for the public, PBOT shall formally inform the group responsible for maintenance of the deficiencies, and if they are not resolved by the time set forth in the maintenance agreement, PBOT may close the trails. But one caveat, follow this procedure for existing trails first. Don't allow Southwest Trails to use its resources to build future trails when their existing trails are in such a hazardous state. Please do the responsible thing today. Do not pass this trails plan before you today until it is amended to cover the existing trails and protect walkers who use these dangerous trails and the innocent property owners currently liable for them. Otherwise, the condition of these trails will never be addressed, and they will only continue to deteriorate. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bridger.
Good morning. Glenn Bridger, Southwest Community Activist. I appreciate the amendments that have been discussed here today and as well as the additional amendments that Commissioner Fritz made, and I support those amendments. I'd like to focus on the liability topic because that is an issue of concern for all of us. I believe that too frequently liability is being used by some of the adjacent property owners as a red herring of why how they say NIMBY, not in my backyard. I don't want to have people walking by here. And I think we need to not allow it to be used as a bullying technique to help the city avoid enforcing their own existing rules to clear the rights away so that they're available for pedestrian access as required by code. I do thank Trudy Raz Frankel for her bringing forth to us that these trails are not a creation of any one organization. These trails existed as she was growing up, where she knew that she had the right to walk on the public rights of way. That was an inherent right that the public has, and that pathways or trails have been created since day one in this community. And so it is not just an issue of any individual organization, but it is a community issue. And if we can have maintenance funding, which is not in this amendment, not in the proposal, that can help on that, maintenance funding from PBOT can help overcome some of the issues that people have about the condition of the trails. So we need to move forward, and I'd like you to move forward with this amendment so that we can build and hopefully maintain trails in the future.
Thank you all very much. Others that have signed up on this item?
Don Bach and Hugh McGavick.
Doubleheader today. That's very unusual. Commissioners, Mayor Hales, I want to, first of all, just stepping back, I think Ms. Prior Speaker, talking about maintenance, it's really important. It's really important, and Trails has basically, because of the liability issues, not addressed maintenance since 2008. We have sought with the city to try to work out something to do that, and we want to continue on that basis. But the just for the record, the trails were built by the Southwest Neighborhoods Incorporated Committee, which was Southwest Trails at the time. We are a total separate organization in Southwest Trails PDX. Moving to the amendments, basically I support the amendments as presented, but I have a couple things that I really want to, that I think are really important. Staff, in their memo to you, said we're going to send out this announcement when there's a trail approved or through the first vetting process. Because their announcement was very defective that they sent out to the existing property owners, they didn't tell them they had liability for the adjacent trails. They didn't tell them there's an opportunity, if you work with a nonprofit, to have that immunity from not suit, but whatever, the immunity process that the state ordinance provided. That needs to go out to everybody now so that we don't end up with everyone trying to close off the trails in front of their houses. Now, I'm going to go down here, and really we fear more property owners will be led to do the same thing as others have done to try to close off these trails that people are now using or would like to use. Now, I don't foresee everybody, every little bitty right-of-way where we're getting a bunch of phone calls saying we've got to open that up. But where there are some critical ones, it's important that the people be able to have have the city address these issues. Let me give you an example of one. In Southwest, we had a letter written by Christine Leone several years ago to a property owner saying that they had to keep a right-of-way open. Since then, it's been closed down by putting brush in front of it, planting plantings, and so on. So we asked the same writer of the letter, Christine, to tell us how we're going to get this back open so, as she provided in her letter, we can go through there. We got the response saying you got to go to tiles 29, and BDS has to be involved. So we went to BDS, asked them to get involved. They went out and posted it. And then, lo and behold, PBOT said, oh, you can't post it. It's not an illegal trail because it hasn't gone through the trail process. Well, if you look at the ordinance, which I've quoted in my note that I gave you, it's very clear that it says these will remain open to the public unless specifically authorized by permit or ordinance to do otherwise. Now, I don't think there's any way that the permits says, there's no permits out there that says you can't do this. So PBOT's sort of making the law on their own, saying, no, we're not going to do that. And that bothers us a lot. And it's causing conflicts within the neighborhood. What I'd like to see, send this note out to everybody saying, this is the law. And if you, then these are the ways you can, the options you have. Rather than just sending it when there's a project specifically approved, because it's the other ones that we're worried about. And then there's another one where they're not removing. My time is up, so I won't go on. It's lunchtime, but I'd encourage you to read it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Don. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I'm Hugh McGavick, and I live in Southwest, and I live on Coronado right-of-way. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to be heard. It's interesting being juxtaposed with Mr. Bach because we represent completely different views in this particular circumstance where I live, which I'm not here to discuss, but it's just a great juxtaposition to conclude this lengthy process. And that juxtaposition can be stated in our instance as environmentalists versus hikers, and those needs are what this whole policy is addressing, to balance those both critical needs to the city on a case-by-case basis. I'm not going to argue the merits of anything that's happened before. I'll answer any questions that I'm given. But I do think there are a couple of changes that I would like to see made to address the amendments. First, Commissioner Fritz, with due respect, I think it's a bad idea to put more weight on yours and your colleagues' busy shoulders. I think it should be a decision by the head of PBOT. And it leave you out of this already highly politicized arena. I suggest you revisit that and go back to as was written coming in. Second, the immunity amendment is written by the very capable Sarah Schooley, who's done a brilliant job throughout and has interacted very well with with everyone who has wanted her here and many who she would rather not. But she stated it as a recommendation that staff recommends this language. I don't see what I'd like to see there. What I would like to see is I would like to plug this recommended language in under immunity for certain landowners. Right now, as drafted, there are many kudos to Southwest Trails for brilliantly getting this legislation passed and misrepresentations about what it accomplishes. The new language that staff recommends is more in line with the legal memo that Peter Fenley Fry presented from Duncarney at the last meeting that caused Commissioner Fish to request this amendment. This language, I think, is a more benign, more policy proper statement of law and fact that the layman could follow. And third, and finally, very quickly, the second amendment is about inspection, and that's on the last page, 8, and it comes at step 6. Right now it says, the proposed language says, the trails organization shall contact PBOT once construction is complete, so staff with a representative of the applicant have the opportunity to inspect. It should just be complete for an inspection, period. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you both. So questions, recommendations. I guess I'm a little confused about where we are on the liability issue at this juncture. So I appreciate the work that's been done. I also appreciate Ms. Duncan's testimony. So Commissioner or City Attorney or anyone else, where do we feel like we are on that issue at this point?
I'll defer to the City Attorney.
Council, I'm Ben Walters with the City Attorney's Office. So I have been working with PBOT related to the concerns raised about the liability statute. We've tried to come up with language to include in dissemination to the public that tries to describe what the liability statute addresses in language that we hope is understandable. I disagree with some of the conclusions that Ms. Duncan described in terms of what the liability statute does or does not address at this point in time. And part of what the policy is hoping to address is that right now, at least, we have situations where work is occurring in the right-of-way. It's not being done necessarily in accordance with standards developed by the city. And to the extent that the policy hopes to get trails up to a prescribed standard under the supervision of PBOT, that does bring it into a situation where the city will assume some responsibilities for establishing standards. And if the work is done in accordance with the standards, then the city will be shouldering some of the responsibilities for those trails and taking that off of the abutting property owners and the organization that's doing the work. And that's more of a process result than it is a statement that we need to include or somehow extracting a commitment from the organization for prior work that was performed. Any questions?
Okay, I think that's helpful.
To the suggestion Ms. Duncan made about having the city engineer inspect existing trails, or what? Any thoughts on that?
Do I have any thoughts on that?
Sure.
You know, I suppose. Well, right now, at least, we have a complaint-driven process where, if people have concerns about the condition of the trails, then they can submit those to BDS, and BDS would coordinate with PBOT on whether or not the conditions necessitate some correction.
Okay, so it's complaint-driven right now?
Complaint-driven basis, okay. Yeah.
So maybe not today, but sometime soon. I guess I'd like just a tutorial about scenarios in which there would be an injury, who ends up with the liability. I still hear that.
Well, frankly, that's going to depend on the circumstances of each case. The liability will be resolved on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
The statute affords some significant protection for abutting property owners as it stands right now.
We think.
Well, we think, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Perhaps this is a discussion that we should be looking at in our legislative agenda if we need to toughen it up. The statute only applies to cities over 500,000, which is us. So perhaps it might be something that we could get some tweaks if necessary.
Well, the statute allows cities below 500,000 to opt in if they choose to.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Other questions for Mr. Walters? And let's see, where are we with this? This is a previous agenda item, so it's been amended.
It's a resolution.
It's a resolution.
Resolution. You can vote on it today.
So it is now an amended resolution. Okay, so we can take action on it today. So further discussion? Roll call.
Novick?
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Erica. Thanks to Southwest Trails. Thanks to Marianne. Thanks to everybody who participated in this process. Thank you, John. God bless you, Mr. Stormwater. So again, this is a pilot. We'll try it out for a while. We'll monitor how it's going. We'll see how it works. I hope it works well. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, I appreciate hearing all of the concerns on all sides. And as Commissioner Novick said, this is a pilot. Sarah Scully, I've been really impressed with the work that you've done on this. And when you have people on all sides who disagree with each other quite a lot, but they all agree that you have done a great job, that's very telling. And I very much appreciate your work. Aye.
Seltzman?
Well, to be the third one to underscore, it's a pilot. So I do look forward to careful evaluation. I think our goal is we want to advance the creation of trails in Southwest and throughout the city as alternatives to getting from point A to point B, and we want to make sure that liability issues that we want to resolve the concerns adjacent property owners have about liability, but not at the same token to give absolute veto power to adjacent property owners. I don't think that would be a chilling impact on any trails happening in my opinion. So we need to do this pilot, and I think we need to further figure out what the options are and make sure people know if they are adjacent to a trail they feel is unsafe, that they do know there are channels that they can bring their complaints to. And certainly as the commissioner in charge of BDS, I'll make sure that channel is working. And so I think this is a great pilot. I do want to make sure that it doesn't stifle trail creation. Aye.
Else.
Well, this is a social experiment under hopefully adult supervision by the city of Portland, I'm committed to making it work. I don't want to put property owners at risk, and hopefully the legislative protections that we have assured that, but I take your point, Commissioner Fritz, about we need to go back to the legislature and make it stronger. We should do just that, but let's go forward with the pilot project and see. Aye. Thank you all very much. We are recessed for 1 hour until 2 p.m.
Well done. We were going to make it.